am here in studio with State Senator Patrick O'Connor of Weymouth. Thanks so much for joining us on this beautiful day.
Thanks for having me, Christine. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, it's a good time to catch up because there's a lot going on in the State House. First of all, the State House has opened up again after, 700 days without any restrictions up there?
Yeah, it was too long. I was one of the people that were up there that once the restaurants reopened to 25% capacity, we had our staff back up there and really resumed operations. But now, finally, thankfully, we're open to the public and there's no restrictions. Vaccination status doesn't prohibit entrance, nor does mask wearing. So it's really the result that we all wanted at the end of the day, because it is the people's house. It should be open. People should be able to go up there and advocate for the issues that they care about and the causes they believe in, and now they finally can again.
That's great. So but what's on everybody's mind right now? The cost of filling up your car at the tank, gas tax bills. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing to help try to bring some of that money down. I mean, when people are paying over $4 a gallon for gas, I think we're getting to an area where people are feeling really uncomfortable.
They certainly are, and I think that it's felt widespread, not just, you know, people who commute into Boston, but businesses who rely on fleet of transportation vehicles to get their goods from one place to another, and people generally just driving around town. When you see gas prices reach this high, it's frightening. A lot of this is caused by what's happening over in Eastern Europe, and our thoughts and prayers are obviously with all the people in Ukraine and in their tremendous struggle that they are undergoing right now with Russia's invasion. But I think there's some steps that we can take here to provide some relief while there's so much challenging circumstances as well as uncertainty out there. And one of them, which came up during debate in the House and something that we've looked at and we'll probably file something in the next few days on, is to give some gas tax relief. Right now, the gas tax is 26 cents a gallon in Massachusetts. And the gas tax account that we get every single month, it's monitored, has a surplus of about $25 million in it from what we anticipate it to be brought in. So we think we can provide some relief and potentially get rid of the gas tax till at least Labor Day and provide some, you know, people with some relief at the pump during, you know, the good weather months and the summer months and really the high travel months down here. And I think it's going to be something that my hope is gets bipartisan support and we can try and really make it happen.
How quickly do you think something like this could move through the House? I know people are looking for relief like now.
My hope is that we file it as a joint bill with the House and the Senate, and that we we try and get people that are listening right now in WATD to call into their legislature, as well as others, to really press that this is something that's needed right now. And I don't think that there's a conversation out there that I've seen floating about where, you know, it's some people that are very vocal about the price of gasoline going up, and others, counteracting, saying that they're willing to pay that due to the circumstances that were on Ukraine. I think that both of those mindsets can fit into the proposal that we've put forward, that I believe is going to be common sense, and just saying, look, we have a surplus of money that has been paid into this account. We have the opportunity to provide 26 cents per gallon of relief. Why don't we?
Okay, that sounds like an idea that I think a lot of people could get behind. Speaking of money, what about pharmaceutical access and cost? That was something that was being debated in the Senate. What happened with that?
So we're able to pass it. This is a really good bill, and this is going to be something that I think that as we continue along, we need to really closely monitor, and that's the price of prescription drugs. Everyone's seen this go skyrocket, and they always wonder why. There's a ton of money that's going into biotech and pharmaceuticals and research and development, no doubt about that whatsoever, and we're proud to have such a huge footprint here in Massachusetts in that industry. But some of these prices have gotten out of control, and one in particular that we were able to address in this is insulin, and making sure that the price of insulin will go no higher than $25 for a 30-day supply. We've seen people, realistically, in Massachusetts pay over $1,000 a year, which has caused them to ration their insulin. And this is nothing. This is something that should never happen in Massachusetts.
Life or death legislation.
Yeah.
And rationing insulin. That's playing a dangerous game.
It really is. And so that's why we want to monitor and maximize the amount that people can pay at $25. And the inventors of insulin, the folks who discovered it in the first place, sold the patent to the University of Toronto for just $1 because they knew this was such an important discovery and really a life-saving and life-altering discovery that they didn't want people paying anything more than that. And And we now have the responsibility to monitor and maximize the private sector and make sure that people who need insulin and other drugs are provided it to them at a reasonable price.
Tell me a little bit more about the legislation about naming the Chesna Bridge after the officer that was killed in the line of duty.
Sure. So I had a conversation at the Irish Heritage Day Parade with Mim and Chuck Chesna, Michael Chesna's parents, and they had mentioned to me how they wanted to do something to honor their son that would be an outlet, not just to honor him, but also to honor all first responders. And so we filed legislation to name the new bridge in South Weymouth, right by the commuter rail station that was just recently constructed as part of the routine project, as the Sergeant Michael Chesna First Responder Bridge. And he, the family wanted that, and I joined myself and Representative Murphy in filing this, because they really wanted it to be for all first responders, not just those who have died mm-hmm. in the line of duty, but for those that are still active right now. And it's really important to them, because it's by where Michael grew up. And on top of that, it's the bridge that a lot of police, fire, and ambulance will go over on their way to Selshire Hospital. And they really wanted to honor him in that way. And this is something that came straight from the family, and it was something that I was honored to be able to file.
That's terrific. And so another bill that we follow closely here, of course, Nero's bill being officially signed into law. That was a long time coming, and I think a lot of people followed that. And I know you were a big supporter of that from the beginning.
Yeah, and this is one of those things, too, that I think that if we didn't have the circumstances with COVID, this would have been something that would have been done last legislative session. But I was so happy we were able to get this done, because hearing the story about what happened with Nero, and then mm-hmm. shortly thereafter, Canine Kit and Braintree. But to hear that Nero, wasn't able to be transported because of an archaic state law that made no sense was something that I was proud to be able to be a co-sponsor on. And Representative Xaros down in the Cape was really the driving force behind mm-hmm. this and making sure this got done. And I'm just glad that we'll never have a circumstance again where you may have an injured canine police dog that individuals, first responders, don't know how to treat. Now we have it on the books. Now we make sure that those dogs are treated the way that they should be.
And another, I think, very important bill you filed to establish September 11th as a permanent day of remembrance. I think a lot of people are surprised that it isn't already.
Yeah, and this is one of those bills that came to us from a constituent, Polly Rowe and Hall, as well as Chief Russo and Hall. And they basically had said, we think this is just an omission. And when we looked into it, there's national days for almost everything here in Massachusetts. You can look and find something, mm-hmm. and the same at the federal level. Pi Day we had talked about before we came on air just the other day. And, what we want to do is, we just graduated last year the first class of students that were born after 9/11. And from my experiences in the communities that I represent, I continue to see a decrease in activity around 9/11 mm-hmm. when it came to community events. And I think that this official remembrance will make sure that we always remember the events of that day, but also the events that happened after, the people lining up at recruiting stations, mm-hmm. the two wars and conflicts that followed that, many have very strong opinions on mm-hmm. the policy of. And, collectively put this all together and say that this was a day that changed the world as we know it. And it should be something that's taught in schools. It should be something that's remembered. And it should be something that we as the state of Massachusetts, especially our direct connection with this, with the flights leaving from Boston, that we make sure that we put on the books so that there's never even the possibility of us not treating this the way that it should be.
And one more quick question. We are speaking with State Senator Patrick O'Connor of Weymouth. Another $75 million available through the Small Business Grant Program. Applications open through April 4th. Who's eligible for that? And what typically, how big are these grants?
Yeah, so these grants vary, but we've been very successful here on the South Shore, being able to connect the different chambers of commerce with the appropriate folks. So if there's any businesses out there that were unsuccessful in the Mass Growth and Capital Corporation prior grant funding rounds, which I believe, let out about $700 million during the COVID pandemic. If they were unsuccessful, please contact my office, 617-722-1646. We will try and work with you and boost your application up to make sure that you get the necessary resources that that you need and that you may have lost during the pandemic. And one thing that I may say of people that are not eligible yet, and that was something that we've been working on, mm-hmm. is that they actually cap this out at when you start your business at July 1, 2019. Me and a couple of my colleagues are working really hard to try and make sure that people who started their business up until the day the state of emergency was declared are also eligible. And my hope is that we can continue to replenish this fund with more money up until the point in time that every business that was impacted negatively financially by COVID-19 can recoup the money that they deserve, that the federal government basically gave to the state of Massachusetts to say, here's dollars to invest back into those businesses mm-hmm. that lost during the pandemic.
And for people that are not familiar with your district, because it's a big district name, I believe it's the 8 towns that you represent.
So it's Weymouth, Hingham, Hull, Scituate, Marshfield, Duxbury, Norwell.
Okay, that's great. That's State Senator Patrick O'Connor. We're going to put this interview up online, too. Thanks so much for stopping by and catching up with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.